Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Barbara Campbell, Board Chair, and I'll go ahead and call our meeting to order on April 12th, the year 2023, at 8 a.m. I'd like to introduce to my fellow board members our new Assistant Attorney General, Jean Galvin.
Good morning.
All right, so basically our roll call's been completed by Heather as far as everyone who's present, plus guests in the audience include Dr. Hall and complainant SS for that case. We'll have a couple other people, one other individual calling in, and Dr. Worcester is not going to be present. She had to do an emergency surgery, so we have a summary of her report that Heather will read. Before we do that case. All right, does anybody have any conflict of interest to declare on any of the agenda items? Hearing none, we will proceed on. Number four is our review, discussion, and possible actions on our board meeting minutes. Those are for general session meetings, meeting minutes of March the 8th of 2023. I did not see anything that I would add or correct. Do either of my board members have any additions or corrections?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you. Hearing none, then I will go ahead and make a motion to accept general session board meeting minutes of March 8th, 2023, as written.
Seconded.
Thank you, Dr. Alano. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. All right, our next is our number five, which is the items for board review, discussion, and possible action under subheading A, which is our investigation files, and we have that is complaint 22-22-C, Dr. Hugh Hall. Again, as I mentioned, we have present the complainant in the case, and Dr. Worcester's report. I will ask Heather to read that at this time.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, board members. This complaint is against Dr. Hugh Hall. The complaint was submitted against an employee of the organization that Dr. Hugh Hall is employed with, Ms. Susan Schatz. Her allegation was several different concerns, including potentially non-licensed staff members, ordering and performing x-rays on patients, patients not being properly educated on radiation risks and protection, specifically in relation to a fetus, unprofessional conflict management methods by Dr. Hall, lack of consent to videography of the event, gross negligence and defamation by Dr. Hall, and improper storing of human tissue in the staff break room refrigerator. The response from Dr. Hall includes that the complaint is more appropriate for human resources evaluation rather than a podiatric medical board review and requests for the complaint to be dismissed. He also provided preliminary findings of investigation from the Arizona Department of Health Services, Bureau of Radiation Control Program Manager, Mr. Sean Rios, completed on December 8th of 2022, and a letter from radiology technician Michael Horn. Proposed violations include expired technologist displayed certificate and no shielding diagram of the room at the facility. Contrary to Dr. Hall's email to as far as myself on January 18, 2023, no mention of the specific patient or a specific complaint made to the Bureau was made in the report. The letter from Mr. Horn demonstrated that proper radiation safety and ALARA protocols were followed for the patient in question, and that he was instructed by Dr. Hall that the patient was aware of the risks associated with radiation and x-ray with pregnancy. Moving forward in the file, Dr. Hall's clinical documentation is present. The patient was diagnosed with a left disfranc fracture dislocation on August 16th, 2022, and underwent surgical intervention on August 17th, 2022. However, in the available notes, no discussion of pregnancy or potential radiation risks are noted until post-op visit on November 10th of 2022, despite Dr. Hall's response stating that the pregnancy was known on day of surgery, which was August 17th, 2022. Additionally, there is an addendum made on November 10th of 2022 to the post-op note on September 13th of 2022, stating that the patient was pregnant and double-shielded for x-rays. Dr. Worser made an email request from Dr. Hall regarding video of the event between him and the complainant. In the second opinion, physical therapy notes, the initial ER record, CT of the patient that led him to a surgical decision-making, and surgical consent form. Dr. Hall responded that these records would need to be subpoenaed as they were from outside facilities. In assessing the complainant's allegations, Dr. Worster had concerns regarding Arizona statute of unprofessional conduct by Dr. Hall in regards to record keeping, conduct of practice that is or might be harmful to the health of the patient, and obtaining a fee by misrepresentation. The clinical notes appeared to be canned notes and do not mention patient's pregnancy. Additionally, they have conflicting dates of surgery, do not discuss pertinent postoperative instructions in regards to edema control, any concern for a local systemic infection, if the incision is healed, if sutures have been removed, KY or pain, site care, when KY was removed, pain control modalities, DVT, prophylaxis, and weight-bearing status, and if the note contains a physical exam, it has inconsistencies with the patient's diagnosis, for example, normal gait in a patient with a left foot fracture, dislocation, and include eye, ear, nose, throat, abdomen, and inguinal lymph node exams. The pregnancy is not noted in the operative report, nor is any intraoperative fluoroscopy or patient radiation shielding. The clinical notes also do not contain his imaging interpretations in regards to why surgical intervention was necessary or the patient's healing after it was performed. There was also mentioned later in the patient's postoperative protocol the fifth metatarsal fracture. However, when that metatarsal fracture occurred or why that diagnosis was made on October 4th, 2022, almost 2 months after the patient's surgery and initial evaluation is unclear based on Dr. Hall's documentation. In order to properly maintain appropriate records, the requested records of ER report, CT exam, and surgical consent form should have been all part of the patient's chart at Dr. Hall's office at Arizona Mountain Orthopedics. In regards to concern for practice that might be harmful to the health of the patient, patient surgical intervention did not involve any internal hardware that stabilizes the Lisfranc joint or the ligament from the medial cuneiform to the base of the second metatarsal. And I apologize if I'm pronouncing some of these incorrectly. Let's see, standard practice would involve at least some sort of fixation between the medial cuneiform and second metatarsal base, in addition to addressing any extra or intra-articular fractures. Also, the op report states that the second metatarsal was very comminuted and was evident in x-rays. It is well documented in the research literature that pinning has high rates of failure leading to instability, which results in progressive medial longitudinal arch collapse and painful arthrosis. With the comminution of the second metatarsal, why primary arthrodosis was not considered or documented as a discussion point with the young patient is questioned. In evaluating the fixation that was performed, there is concern if the metatarsal fracture is appropriately reduced, if the fracture is appropriately stabilized with 1.8 millimeter screws, if the Lisfranc joint was appropriately reduced and maintained long-term, and why the second ray K wire was left extending into the soft tissue to the joint, potentially causing neurovascular injury. The final provided set of x-rays on October 4, 2022, almost 2 months post-op, were NWB and not a true representation of the patient's final foot and healing position when ambulating. Finally, the procedure performed seems to be more in alignment with CPT 28485, open treatment of metatarsal fracture, than CPT 28615, open treatment of dislocation. No billing for any postoperative x-rays or DME dispense was seen on the provided billing sheet. And that concludes Dr. Worster's summary.
Thank you, Heather. All right, so I'm assuming that everyone has thoroughly read the other report, the general report that Dr. Worcester did. Now, on this case, I'm going to say we address issues of patient care, and we do have part. This complaint kind of has two parts, as I see it, that we have an HR issue that has to deal with an employee at the facility, and there may concerns of some patient care from that. So that part is certainly something that's pertinent to what we need to hear, and the other thing would be the findings or the issues that Dr. Worcester has indicated regarding documentation and billing. So I will ask the complainant to come forward to the table, and if she would please just give us a summary, because we've read what you have put into our packet, and then that would, after addressing us in summary, that myself or my board members can ask you some questions, ma'am. Well, just like I said, just kind of give us a summary of your complaint that you directed to this board.
I went to work on November 9th. It was a Wednesday. And I found my computer crashed. So it takes a long time to come back from that and prepare for the docs, and can sometimes take upwards of an hour. So I was trying to find the individual responsible for doing it, that I could instruct them on how not to do it, the damages, the equipment, and it's and so I asked several employees, I think it was four total, if they knew who was going to x-ray the day before I figured it would be. And that's not what I was told. I was told that Dr. Brimhall, Stephen, will be in the x-ray room. And at some point in time during the day, the system crashed and they left. So I wanted to ensure that I understood the information, so I just asked if they had ever seen the above, which is Dr. Brimhall's assistant.
Excuse me, this is Dr. Leonard. Can you speak into the mic? You're fading in and out, please.
I apologize. So I asked if they had seen her in there with any patients, because on previous occasions I had been told that she had been in the x-ray room x-raying patients, and I said, don't do that. You're going to get into trouble. It's against the law, and they had no idea what the radiation can do with patient care. Apologize. And I had went to one of my superiors, Dr. Reagan, and expressed that to him as well as to Stephen, the PA. And I said, I don't want any part of this. You have to stop. And I was concerned that it would put me in peril with my license. So I contacted my licensing, the special licensing department, and I spoke to someone, and I said, I'm just an x-ray tech. I need to make sure I'm not doing anything wrong. This is what I was told. I told them to stop, not doing anymore. Am I covered? Am I okay? Am I in trouble? They said, no, you did exactly what you were supposed to. That's the last I heard of it. So when the state came in, I believe that they spoke with Michael. And from what I'm to understand, the special licensing unit forwarded it to the Bureau of Radiation Control. So they had actually received it from the special licensing, and then were moving forward with it. I had no idea of any of this was going on in the background. And so when we continually found problems with the system, I addressed them with Dr. Reagan about Michael. They had found him sleeping many times. The equipment was always bad when I got there, so he had actually spoken about firing him. So when I got there on the 9th, I actually thought it was him, because he will leave sometimes half days. He was doing two jobs at one time. So I went and spoke to Dr. Reagan, and I said, this is what I've been told. I was told that Leah was in there, and now you've backed me into a corner, because technically, by law, if I don't report this and someone else does, they're going to take my license for not reporting it. So I have to say something. I'm not sure what happened between then and Thursday, the November 10th, but at 9:30, I received my patient. She came into the unit. I talked to her, verified date of birth, asked her if she was pregnant. She said, yes, as a matter of fact, we found out right before I went into surgery. And I said, oh, okay. Hang on a second. I said, I'll be right back. Went in the hallway, informed Nan Hall, Dr. Hall's wife, who also works at the clinic, and I believe she's either an NP or she's working on a PA. I'm not sure. I apologize. They had been standing in the hall with her daughter, who I didn't want in the room, and she was a little sketchy anyways because of radiation. We had a small room. And so I went in the hall, and Crystal Lechner, his MA, was also standing there with her, and I said, look, I can't x-ray this patient. She's pregnant. And they just kind of gave me a strange look, and I said, we don't even have a form for them to sign off, and we don't have appropriate radiation shielding for a pregnant patient. And so I said, I'll go in and get her and send her back to the room. And when I went back into the room, I said, look, I'm going to send you back to the patient room. You can take care of, you know, they'll answer any questions there. And she said, why can't you x-ray when I'm pregnant? So I went into the Alara as low as reasonably achievable. I said, we can, but we only usually do this in an emergent situation. We have to alter the way that we position you. We have to double shield you. You can't sit normally as you would on the table. You're in first trimester, so you have to be counseled. You have to sign off on this. I said, my most important responsibility is to the fetus, not even to you. I said, fetus, you, and then me. And I said, and if I had all those things, it would be one thing. I said, but I don't have even a form for you to sign off on. So I said, let me take you back to the room. And I said, and they can answer any questions from there. Apparently, she left the facility after going back to her room and was in a state of shock and was unconsciously angry. Apparently, she had been calling and screaming and crying on the phone. And so I went into the computer system. I needed to fill out an incident report. I looked for one that wasn't there. I was trying to get the information written down so when I touched base with HR, I could have that information for them. When I went into the system, I viewed myself three different imaging appointments. The first one came in, was most likely pre-op. And she didn't know she was pregnant, but she had a daughter, and she's, you know, in that age group. So I do 9 to 99, I'm going to ask you. Sounds crazy, that's what they taught us in school. So I was in the process of finding that information out so I could document it, and I went to the head lead, which is Jamie Reedhead, and I said, could you do me a favor? I can't find an incident report online. Could you give me one? She said, yeah, or I mean online, on our system, within our documentation. And she goes, no, we don't have one. You could probably find a journal one online and download it. I was like, okay. So I asked her at that time, who took x-rays on September 13th? And she said, I don't know, you would have to talk to the payroll person. So when I contacted the payroll person, they said, you need to talk to Leah, and we advise you not to, you know, really take this any further. So I went back to my room, and I was trying to find an online document for the incident report, and Dr. Hall came in from the back hallway with his hands raised like he was coming at me to choke me. He got right into my face, spitting at me. What did you tell her? Swearing at me, angry, mad. I totally freaked out. I jumped up and I said, hang on one second. And I went to the back area where there's a high traffic nursing area because my main doctor that I work with most of the time, Dr. Reagan, was back there, nurses, you know, all that. So I felt more protected and I could at least have witnesses. So he was, I guess, lost his mind. I don't know. I was being accused of all kinds of stuff I'd never even heard of. I was being told that they thought that the illness that I had had because of the treatment I was receiving at my job was I was faking it. And I had been in touch with my superior in the HR department to let him know what was going on because I had missed an enormous amount of work because of being so ill. I didn't know at the time what it was. I thought it was, you know, just not feeling good, dehydrated. They did every test on me. Went to the ER, actually was admitted in the ER and then had to, yeah. No, I'm not. And when I was released, I had to walk back to our work because they kick you out at midnight. And so I walked back to our facility, and I had to stay there in order to recover because I still had symptoms, but they had no taxi. So then when I left in the morning on a taxi service, they called the cops on me and told them I was ranting and raving. I wasn't. I was in my nightdress. I was just upset that, you know, they had no taxi service for me to get home, and my phone was dead. I couldn't call anyone. So he was kind of coming at me with all this information that I wasn't even aware that he knew about. And so he started threatening me with suing me and taking my license. I was receiving text messages at that time from Jennifer Brimhall, who was Dr. Brimhall's wife, threatening my license to turn me into ART, the state special licensing, HIPAA, several other ones. And I didn't know that until I got back into my x-ray unit. Confrontation lasted for some time. He demanded that it be videoed. I said, I prefer that you not. It wasn't because of anything that I had to say. It was because this is a high traffic patient area, and we're talking about a patient. And people are on the phone, and I had to actually wait for Dr. Reagan to finish talking with his assistant about what he was doing. So there was probably about a 50 people range in there that was witnessing all of this. He insisted on taking it outside, and I declined. I didn't feel safe. But he did video it anyways. And at that time, when things kind of started really falling apart, he went into room number 5, picked up the phone and called my patient, told her, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I had no training, education, or experience to be answering those questions to her, that I'm crazy, not to worry about anything he said, and just ignore it, and everything would be fine. The first set of images I noticed, the first image was over-penetrated. That was probably at least 20-foot x-rays worth. The other three images were okay. Michael Horn did those. Second set of imaging was done on the 13th. Michael left that day. He was not performing the imaging. Someone else was. And when I inquired who that was, that's when the threatening started. She did come back and do another set of images with him, Michael, and so they seemed to be okay. I'm not aware if there was a CT done. I've never been told that. I know that there was records at the SASE Surgical Center, and when I went home after that attack, I was in bed for 3 days ill like I had been, and then when I opened my mail, I received my letter from the SASE Surgical Center that said that my employment was terminated. Dr. Hall, during this confrontation, stated many times that the inspector who came in to inspect our unit told him that I was the whistleblower and that he had told everyone else. So that answered my question why I was terminated. And I had already lost my shifts with Dr. Brimhall, and I was agreeable to it because I was under the understanding that he just needed somebody to cover him, and I was more worried about that than anybody. So when they asked if Michael could take a Monday, I said, absolutely. And then they said, if you give him 2 days, it would be even better. I said, absolutely. And my health started coming back, but then it tanked. And I didn't understand why, because we had a staff meeting. They said, does anybody have any issues? And I was the only one that raised my hand, and it was not about anything what they were talking about. It was about bringing us together as teams and, you know, trying to get a little enlightenment from work and, you know, bring snacks and talk and you know, and mingle so we can act and look and provide as a team. Dr. Reagan's team was wonderful. We had a lot of losses on Dr. Brimhall's team, but I never faked an illness. I have not lied. My patient told me who was doing this and what happened. I know she's been hurt. We did not have the appropriate amount or type of lead to protect her and her fetus. it does not appear that the imaging was done in a way that would drive the radiation away from the fetus, because you would have to label them that way. The person that did the imaging on September 13th didn't even label the images, and they didn't sign into the system, which was one of the things that the state demanded that they do. They wanted to do it in the form of a paper form, and I tried to instruct them that if you did this in a certain way, they could hit a button on the computer and it would show them what the tech is for the day, who's doing what, and it will help with quality control. But I couldn't even get Michael to follow the directions that were on the board. I had tried to do a pregnancy form. I had tried to do policies in that unit that would help to drive it more to be compatible with state requirements, because I'm JCO certified, ISO 9000, ISO 14000. I'm trauma trained. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've worked hospitals, CT, DEXA, MRI. I've done it all. And I work side by side with patients, and I've never once ever been attacked by anybody or threatened like that by anybody. So I finished out the rest of the day. My symptoms came on, so I did end up having, we had a staff meeting, and I had to run back and forth several times, so I didn't get it all. It was just Dr. Reagan's team, and I left. And when I went through the recovery that weekend, I contacted my primary care provider, and she put me in touch with a trauma counselor who I've been seeing, and changed my medication. My symptoms have gone away. The 45-pound undocumented weight loss, I've been magically able to put back on now that I'm not sick all the time. But I met with my attorneys, and they have told me exactly where everything sits legally. And my first main thing is my patient. She was directly lied to. I was slandered and defamed. I've never had a write-up. I've never been terminated. I'm a military vet. I was from a family of military, born and bred. We're all about protocol. My dad was Inspector General, PACAF. So I have to tell the truth. I had just taken my ethics the day before, which would have been Tuesday, November 8th. And I had gone to many employees throughout this whole time saying, you know, I feel like this is being done to me on purpose.
Ma'am, we appreciate your discussion.
I'm sorry.
And this doesn't really, we have no jurisdiction over
right,
that.
Right.
And I appreciate the fact that you've come to speak with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned in the beginning, a lot of this is HR.
The
board has no jurisdiction over that. We have no jurisdiction over the radiology.
Right.
And as indicated from the report from the investigator, that when ADHS did their inspection, they found violations and they gave a letter to have that corrected. This is fine. Again, like I said, this is nothing that...
Yeah, they submitted three different reports.
Yes, I understand. So our main issue is the patient,
right,
the patient care. And we have information from our investigator that indicates, you know, that there is no... and that the procedures from these different groups that discuss, you know, parameters for pregnancy, that there was nothing that was done incorrectly. Now, I do have a question for you. Did you do the x-rays on the 13th of September where we have a notation that the patient was double shielded? Did you?
No, not. And Michael labels every single thing. There was 12 patients done on the 13th after that noon break, and all of them were done the same, and none of them were ever done anything like even what Michael does.
Okay.
And he uses tagged x-rays.
Because
that's when I talked to my patient, you know, she verified, you know, because I asked her if they did all the different stuff, and she said no.
Okay. And that's,
And she said the other guy did it, and so that's why I say when you look at the x-rays, it will show you. It has to indicate whether they're standing or not, and we did not have the amount of shielding. I don't know what they had after November 10th, because they did do a follow-up report on the 8th, but all of the reports were different. The first report indicated there was nothing going on, and then the second report was all of this stuff was going on. So when I talked to Sean Rios and told him that Dr. Hall told me, Dr. Brimhall had told everyone I was a whistleblower, he investigated it 2 weeks later. He said, if you want the results of that investigation, get a subpoena.
Well, and again, like I said, that's all under their purview.
Right, right.
The information, but again, that's not...
And I was supposed to meet with them when I came back to work that following week. I did not come back to work. Apparently, there was a report done. But my concern was because the patient was so upset and crying and all of that, if she had been counseled, why was she upset?
Well, and again, we have no... You know, we have the videos to review, and the investigator noted, and as well as board members and attorney, that there was nothing on there indicating any kind of egregious behavior. So we weren't there. Like I said,
right.
This is an HR issue.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going
right.
down that road,
right.
okay?
Right.
We're not going to go down that road. So I believe I will ask my, you know, we also noted, or the investigator also noted that the patient didn't display, you know, what is in our paperwork here is that there was no issue with the patient because the patient was not the complainant, obviously. So I'm going to ask my fellow board members, Dr. Ulano or Dr. Fleming, do you have any questions before we move on?
Dr. Fleming, I don't have any more questions.
Thank you, Dr. Fleming. Dr. Ulano, sir.
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we appreciate you coming, and I will ask them for you to go back into the...
Can I have one question before I go?
Yeah.
Have they contacted the patient to let them know that they're a part of all these different investigations, and there's a question?
No, this, again, that had to be something that would come from the facility. That's nothing that this board is involved with, no.
Okay.
Like I said,
I was
we
just
regulate
curious.
Podiatrists, we don't regulate radiologists, we don't regulate hospitals.
Right. Yeah, I was just curious because the last thing she was told was something totally different. So I just wanted to make sure she knew.
And again, when we have he said, she said, and again, these are HR issues. And
well, that's why I was hoping you guys could all the questions, and I believe it was the day after. You have the video.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All righty.
Hello. Hi, is this Dr. Kincaid Washington? Hi, thank you for joining the call. This is Heather Bratis. We are discussing an agenda item right now. The board is discussing an agenda item, so when the board is completed with this item, we'll move to yours. So if you could just mute your phone until
okay.
the time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so Dr. Hall, please, if you would come up to the table. And I am sure you've had the opportunity to read the investigator's report. So I'm going to just have you please summarize, and then we will ask you some questions.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. So in keeping with the discussion on why we're here, The patient was referred by the emergency department to my partner, Dr. Brimhall, who then referred the patient to me. We had a conversation with the emergency department and the discharge follow-up stuff was discussed, and then the patient came to the office. We took the initial x-ray, I think it was 10 days after the injury, and scheduled surgery on the 11th day. The swelling had resided enough by that time that we were able to do so. The initial x-ray, we obviously didn't know she was pregnant. The CT scan at the hospital, they didn't know she was pregnant. It was on the morning of surgery that we did our requisite pregnancy testing at the surgical center where we determined she was pregnant. There was a conversation with myself, the anesthesia provider, and the director of nursing. The patient was, we certainly explained to her the nature of the injury and that we'd take every precaution. She was given a spinal anesthesia. She was shielded. I recognize that it does not say that in the note, but it certainly was a case. It was not a proceed without discussion, but it certainly is not documented well. Regardless, in the follow-up, there were three x-rays taken, the one initial and two follow-up x-rays. This was a reduced amount from what I would typically take due to the patient's pregnancy. The procedure went well. There was comminution of the base of the second metatarsal. The articular surface was left intact. I did explain to the patient there was a possibility of fusion in the future and that for today we are going to get in there and line everything out to an anatomic position and let the bones heal. The worst part of the injury was definitely that second metatarsal. Did have to reduce that second metatarsal and I put a pin across there. There's no question I was less aggressive on this, but in all fairness, the patient's done very well with it. I don't know that we'll even have to do a fusion. She was ambulating for our last discussion. The x-rays were taken, the two follow-up, by Michael Horn. He has a letter that he sent with my stuff that attests to that. He definitely shielded the patient, though we now realize that's not even necessary. So the patient was discussed with the patient. There was no surprise about her pregnancy. Just like Ms. Schatz does, Michael asks each patient if they're pregnant. In the investigation, certainly we see that they showed up unannounced and said it was specifically from the complainant. I would encourage anyone who's concerned about this to review the video. I think that my response was appropriate, though I was frustrated. I don't agree with the recollections of that, but again, that's for another discussion. So, number one, I'm here to kind of refute that the patient was harmed in any way. I think she's doing well. I think the healing's gone relatively well. Number two, since the time I was a little kid, I was taught to, when someone accuses you of something, you look at it sincerely and you either fight like heck if you're right, or you admit and make right if you were wrong. And that's the second reason I'm here today. I wanted to make sure I was here for. In short, the medical documentation is a combination of many things, but I don't want to turn that from me. We started an electronic health record system that's a lot better for ortho than podiatry. My partners, my orthopedic partners, I agreed to go with them. So we also started their billing in July of 2022. If you look at the notes of that time frame, especially what we're talking here, you're going to see some crummy notes. And what's happened since then is a lot of change. If you're looking at notes from last month, for example, I am going back to my old EHR system. This is a very cumbersome. It's a lot of clicking. There's not any customizing. I'm not comfortable with that. We certainly can meet MIPS and macro better, but I'm going back to my original one. I'd rather take the hit than be back here. I've enjoyed a practice free of any lawsuits, penalties, things like that, and I do think this is something that I need to make right, and I can assure the board that I have the notes now. I do them all myself. I don't have a scribe do them. I certainly don't. We have certified billers and coders at the surgical center, and they're the ones that were reviewing these notes and submitting. And as you see from Dr. Worcester, a lot of these codes were underbilled. In fact, that's the vast majority of them. We certainly have seen that since we started this new billing. Our collections for all my partners and myself are very low. So we're rectifying that. I will willingly accept anything the board has, because I do recognize that although all those other factors were going on, this does fall on me. And that documentation, it should have been better. There's no question. And again, I assure the board that a review of any notes that we'll see going forward, or even recent notes, will show that they're much more appropriate and certainly patient-specific. Less pointing and clicking.
Thank you. All right, so I have some questions, Dr. Hall. Do you ask all your female patients of childbearing age if there's a possibility of pregnancy?
We do, for x-rays, we do. We request that that is, and now it's documented too. Ms. Schatz was right, but yes, we do. We request all of those.
Okay, but I mean, even if, say, you had a woman of childbearing age that you wanted to give, maybe you were going to put her on an oral antifungal. Aren't you going to check then too?
Certainly, we would ask if it's something that would be a risk of anybody of childbearing age. We do not have a mechanism in the office, however, to check pregnancy. And that's for my orthopedic partners and myself. And I don't know, maybe that's something we need to do. But yes, if there's anything that we potentially identify as problematic to a patient, myself and my partners will certainly ask the patient. But many times too, the patient, as in this case, she was told that she wasn't pregnant on the first visit, and it was only the next or two mornings later with surgery that she found out she was pregnant, so it was a surprise to her too. I don't know the right answer on how to do that, and I would certainly accept any suggestions on testing.
Simple UAs or things. Well, and I will say too, knowing, you know, being female, you can be pregnant, not know you're pregnant.
Absolutely.
First trimester, so, you know, this is how, and so a lot of people have things done and not knowing that they're pregnant. So you do the labs the morning of, not prior, not like a week or so before surgery?
The labs for...
I know this was, and you have what, 10-day period between the ED visit where the fracture was found and then obviously your surgical date, you said was...
Probably 10 days or 8 days, yeah.
I'm just curious that... Do you typically do, you know, when do you do your pre-op workups? Say if you had an elective, even if it was an elective surgery. But here it's kind of elective, even though, you know, it wasn't, you know, deemed as an emergent case. I don't know how much swelling is there. Obviously, you probably needed to get, have her, in, you know, in better shape before doing surgery. But I'm just curious.
Yes, great question, actually. On a separate issue, there's been another incident with this patient, and I have a brother who also practices podiatry in the same town. Somehow or another, this patient ended up in his office, and it was after a period of a week that I said, "Where is this patient? She should have we with the emergency department, we scheduled that patient on a 3-day follow-up. We told her to come in the office at the given time. Well, she didn't show up. The girls tried reaching her a couple of times. They were finally able to get a hold of her, I believe, on the 7th or 8th day, and she had gone to my brother Jared thinking that was me. We do not know how that happened, but nevertheless, when we called her, she said, "My preference, I didn't realize I was seeing Jared. I'm more comfortable," this isn't what she said, "I'm more comfortable seeing Ryan," in essence. So she came in, and at that 10th day, she was scheduled for surgery the next day with Jared. So I told her, I said, "Through no fault of your own, you've got two doctors here. I'm not gonna force you to go one way or the other. Whoever you're more comfortable with, it does need to be fixed." His plan was certainly more aggressive than mine, and I think that's pretty standard. In the end, she said, "I'm not comfortable seeing him. I want to see you." And at that point, we were 10 days out. So there was a resultant complaint filed with the hospital board. They investigated. They found, no, it should have gone to Ryan. They still haven't given me the reason why that patient went over there. But the patient, she already was kind of upset about that, and then this happened. This is, she's had a rough run of it. She is doing great, and things are okay, but it's less I'd heard. So that's the reason why it's a little irregular on the timing. Sorry for that long explanation.
That's okay. So what kind of educational materials do you give to patients that are pregnant regarding their podiatric care?
So now we have a form that they sign. It is both myself and again my partners. It is a verbal discussion. There's the universal, we still, I know you're not required to shield, but we still double shield every single patient of weight bearing age. And now any x-ray you see, and if it's a female of weight of child bearing age, you will see on their patient was double shielded. And we do have the appropriate stuff to shield there for that, lead aprons and such.
And that goes to, you know, to the, on the documentation there, as to why it was documented that they were double shielded from a procedure, a x-ray taken on the 13th of September. Why was it put as an amendment that's dated November the 10th? That looks like CYA.
There's no question. Now, if I don't have, if you look, there's two different addendums. Both of those addendums, I believe, were made prior to the investigation by the state. There's no question I get behind on notes, and as we go back through and I sign off, or if we recognize, if she came in for that same time, it would be, and yeah, it's CYA, but it's pretty obvious. I mean, if we did it, I still will put it in the note. And I know from a malpractice standpoint that that's not a good thing, but I don't, it's also, there's no attempt to hide it. It's, look, here we realize we took the thing, again, I've got our radiology tech, Mr. Horn, who's happy and happy to talk to anybody about this. It was, he came to me on both of those subsequent x-rays and said, patient's pregnant, you sure you want to go with this? Yes, I do. Let's make sure. He said, okay, I'm going to double shield her. Both of those, he was present for both of those x-rays, and he will corroborate that.
And this was one of my questions about a scribe, and you said you no longer use a scribe. Now, when I know you just said, too, that you've got the billers and coders that are tend to have more leaning towards orthopedic, it sounds like. So are you looking at your codes after they code your notes, if they're reading your notes?
Oh, I am now. I cannot tell you the massive reduction in income I have seen since we went with this billing module through our EHR starting in July 22.
Because my question always is, you know, when you have these coders and these billers that upcode or select improper codes, are they going to defend you if there's some kind of an insurance issue that comes up? And I don't find too many who say they will. Okay. Let's see. So, now, does your medical assistant order the x-rays without discussing it with you? There's some question, or do you say, okay, this is what I want to do, and she and the MA writes your orders for you?
So what happened that morning is I was in surgery, and surgery was running late. The patient came in for her appointment. We do have my wife, Nell, who is a board-certified family nurse practitioner, who was in the office. But the call came over, the patient is having new pain, do you want to get new x-rays? And I said yes. So it was, there was definitely a discussion. There's kind of the, when it's busy and someone comes in and it's post-op, yeah, I don't want to say it never happens. I don't want to do too much imputing guilt here, but on this case, there was certainly discussion, there was certainly, it went in there. By the time I got there, it wasn't long after, it was right as this had happened. So, but that's the way that happened, and why the nurse practitioner was there in the office at the time, too, though.
But a nurse practitioner can order x-rays.
What's that?
A nurse practitioner has a licensing to order.
Oh, certainly, and she does, yeah. But she was yeah, present for that.
Okay, so, now, did you do the general, does your facility allow you to do a general physical exam upon your patient?
They do, and they require ears, nose, throat, yes. Okay. They do require that.
A lot more of that, yeah, okay. So, did you order, when did you start physical therapy on this patient, or make an order for it? Because there's some discussion in the notes that's kind of obviously confusing as to when, because I'm like, okay, you got this Frank's dislocation, when is appropriate to start PT? You know, you've got to obviously have a secure surgical site before you start doing stuff.
I'm sorry, that's...
For the physical therapy, when did you...
So physical therapy after surgery, I typically started about week 5 to 6. She She did not attend physical therapy. It was suggested to her, but she was in a rural part of the reservation, and I think there was an issue of her just not wanting to do it. And certainly is offered and encouraged with patients who have these more severe fractures.
Okay, so another question I have. So the patient develops a fifth met fracture. My questions are, was that something that was missed on the original Liz Frank's injury, or there was some other trauma that wasn't documented? So which one is it?
So here's what it is. There was no new fracture. On our medical record, that MODMED billing, so you click from a drop-down menu, metatarsal fracture, and then on a picture, you point to the metatarsal. No question, they clicked on the fifth metatarsal. That patient never had a fifth metatarsal fracture. It was thankfully never billed for, but no fifth metatarsal. That is an error in the documentation, and that was because the wrong bone was clicked on that medical record chart.
That doesn't bode well for patient care, you know. That's just not good. And I'm in total agreement with Dr. Worcester's evaluation of the documentation. And I appreciate the fact that you said you're working with a new system, but this is still, another physician couldn't pick this up. They'd wonder what in the heck was going on. I mean, this is just kind of all over the place. And you mentioned, too, that consent was given for surgery and that the patient got a copy of the consent. Well, that wasn't there on the chart. It didn't indicate when you took your stitches out. There were no descriptions of what the foot looked like postoperatively. It was just kind of the same notes. So, we don't, belaboring the issue, but,
yes.
Applying to the fact that it is not of the best quality. So,
the patient did have observable stitches put in, as I recall. I don't.
I think you had Vicryl for deep and Monocro was your.
Yeah, so that would be.
You do a sub Q.
I do a sub Q, so I wouldn't take the stitches out. I am here to admit there is a problem with those notes. I lightning strike me dead if I said otherwise.
Well, and with the op report, it should have been noted that you should have noted on her that she was pregnant and that it was discussed and that she was double shielded during the procedure because you were using fluoroscopy or what? Do you have a mini C arm or?
We had a mini C arm. Yeah, this was a small C arm. The records from the surgical center certainly document those. Now again, I'm happy to provide those. It just needs a subpoena. Both the hospital, she wanted additional documentation, which I was more than happy to provide. But in going to them and asking for them, they said we can't. It is not your facility. They want it, and I did communicate that with the board and said, hey, they're happy to do it. We just need to get a subpoena.
Dr. Foreman or Dr. Ulama, do you gentlemen have any questions for Dr. Hall?
Okay. Yeah, this is Dr. Ulama. From what I'm hearing, I see that you recognize the deficiencies in your charting and your practice, and I'm glad you're taking steps to fix this. Documentation is the most important thing. You got to document. Okay? That's just a fair warning I want to tell you. Okay? That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Dr. Ulama. Dr. Foreman, do you have any comments or questions, sir?
Questions I have already answered. Agree with the documentation issues.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, gentlemen. Well, in lieu of that, I'm going to make what we've read and everything doesn't to me transpire to any level of a discipline, but certainly a non-disciplinary order for continuing medical education in the fields or topics of documentation, medical record keeping, and coding. So two separate. If there's anything else you'd like to see, I would propose 3 hours in each of those categories. And as always, this is in addition to the 25 hours for license renewal. Needs to be done within 6 months, signing of the order. and the courses have to be pre-approved by the board.
Is that a motion?
Yes. Is there anything you'd like, do you want to add anything to that? Do you think other categories are necessary?
No, I think that's adequate.
That's fine. That's fair. I second this.
Thank you, Dr. Yolanda. Do we have any discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair, board members, if I may, in the continuing education should be submitted for pre-approval within a certain time frame.
30 days.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't put that. Thank you for the reminder, Heather. Okay, so that has to be submitted 30 days prior on the to have the courses okayed by the board. So we have a motion on the table. It's been seconded. Any other further discussion? So we'll take a vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved.
Thank you, Dr.
Hall. And Heather will be in contact with you.
Thank you. I find that very appropriate.
Thank you. All righty. We have one of our application for licenses is currently on the phone. Dr. Carrie Kincaid Washington, it's called in. Is she on mute or anything?
Dr. Kincaid Washington, this is Heather Bratis. Are you still on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
Oh,
okay. Hi, Dr. Washington, this is Dr. Campbell, board chair. If you want to, you did a very excellent job, I believe, on your explanation to the situation that occurred for you at Fort Defiance. Is there anything else you want to add to that before we have I have a couple questions.
I don't know what else to add. I mean, I should have written more, but since I was limited in the number of words that I could put in the report, took some of what I originally wanted to say out. The work environment, I think, is not, I was told by Dr. Price, who submitted the report, that he only submitted it because they thought that they would lose their funding for Medicare and Medicaid if they didn't make that report. And I think that it had been less than 30 days and that it wasn't necessary to make the report. That's pretty much
it. So are you saying that they just decided that they had to have something to show, and so you were the one that got it?
But there were a number of things that happened that I didn't put in the report, and that I wasn't sure that there was another podiatrist involved. The other podiatrist involved had performed surgery on the patient, that was something that I found out the next morning after I got the emergency room call. But, I was a little confused when I went to read the records prior to seeing the patient. And normally, the other podiatrist would have been in the office, and I would have asked him about it, but it was going to be a busy morning, so after waiting for him for a while, I went ahead and saw the patient. I was under the impression, because I did see an op note, but I was confused about the date on the op note, because it seemed to be dated the day prior to when I was called. So I was confused, and since I had patients to see and time was working out, I went ahead and I saw the patient, but I didn't remove the dressings because I don't remove someone else's post-op dressing, and
I was under the impression that it was less than, you know, like 8 hours, the possibility that the surgery had been done. But I did have a chance to briefly speak to the podiatrist once he did come in. He did admit that he had performed the surgery. I didn't ask him when it had been done. But then he told me, too, that the only reason that the people at the hospital was called was for me to change the dressing. So it was just a lot confusing on that day, the 18th of February, when that happened. Okay. Well, I was confused for a while, but, you know, it just took a little bit of time to really figure out a few things.
What was going on? Okay, so has this had any negative impact on your career as far as your work getting, you know?
I felt traumatized by it. I was traumatized by the fact that the patient had to go through what she did, and then I was traumatized by the fact that, you know, I wasn't expecting to have to go home when I did, and then, you know, I had to look for work. But yeah, I picked up, you know, sharing and also did tons of,
Okay. So that was my question. Yeah, if it had affected you to the point that you weren't, you know, able to practice because of that. Okay. All right. Gentlemen, do you have any, Dr. Lano or Dr. Furman, do you have any questions for Dr. Kincaid Washington?
I have no questions.
Okay.
I don't either.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor, for answering those questions. It's just nice to, you know, just to kind of get a little bit more information from you. So we have all your application materials are complete, and the fee, everything's taken care of financially. So, gentlemen, did you notice any or have any other questions on Doctor's application? Because she is doing VA comedy because she graduated Shoal in 88 and has her other licensure.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay, well then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to accept Dr. Carrie Kincaid Washington's application for licensure VA comedy, and that license will be issued upon payment of the issuance fee.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. All right. Thanks again, Doctor.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions, Heather's available at the board office.
All right, Tim. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye now.
All right, Tim. Bye-bye.
All righty. Okay, so we'll go back to our world. So we're on B here, issuance of licenses. So we have the first one here now on our list is Raul Avilas. Does anyone have any questions or concerns regarding that application? Alrighty. Hearing none, then I'll go ahead and make a motion to accept the initial license application for Dr. Raul Avilas and to issue the license upon payment of the issuance fee.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. Next, and we did Dr. Kincaid Washington, so we have Dr. Craig Kirkhall. Is that how he says it? Okay. Dr. Kirkhall is in his residency, but will be done June 30th of this year. Everything else is complete in his application. Does anyone have any questions or concerns? Hearing none, then I will make a motion to accept the initial license application for Dr. Craig Kirkhall, and that license to be issued upon successful completion of his residency and payment of the license issuance fee.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Our next here and final application is Michelle Murray Clark. This is a regular license application. Everything seems to be in order here. Does anyone have any questions or concerns on this applicant? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to accept the initial license application for Dr. Michelle Murray Clark. It's complete, fees are paid, and to issue the license upon payment of the license issuance fee.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay. And then, excuse me, fog in my throat. Move on to subsection C, which is the initial analysis here for Dr. Alon Cole. And Dr. Cole was not going to be able to be present to discuss this. So y'all read his response to having his clinical privileges suspended, that was over patient care concerns, and that it was evaluated by an orthopedic spine surgeon, which is kind of interesting to evaluate a podiatric case. Anyway, so I guess they released this, but it's saying that it's still under investigation. So I don't know if they're having, podiatrists at Banner Tucson that are doing the investigation. So, our options are we can continue this and wait to get some information from the investigation that's being done there at the hospital podiatrists. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
I probably need to get the final report.
Yeah. Because when they said, certainly that it was ongoing, to do our due diligence, that's what we should do, is just find out from, I guess we have to subpoena the hospital to find out who are the investigators and to get their reports. And then, obviously, if we felt that the investigator had found something, then we could open a board complaint and have our investigators evaluate.
I will vote for continuance until we find out all the information.
So we really don't need to make a motion regarding that. We'll just keep that status to continue the investigation to get more information, and then we can hopefully have something to review at the next meeting and be able to make a decision on where to go with things. All righty. And number six we have here is Nicole Adams, this was on her renewal application. Oh gosh, I can't remember. When was that? What renewal year was that, Heather?
Madam Chair, Board Members, it was on her 2020 renewal application. She had reported the malpractice matter, and at that time the board had just asked her to keep the board apprised of the matter, and she did throughout the past 3 years.
Yeah, and so she's been released as a defendant, and apparently she had no settlement, and she was dismissed outright, but I guess they're continuing with some of the other defendants. So, you know, Dr. Adams has completed what she needs to complete with us, so we don't need to...
Do we need a motion to dismiss the...
Well, Ms. Galvin just said it would be more appropriate to make a motion to take no action.
Okay.
So, would you like to make that motion, Dr. Foreman?
Sure, I'll make a motion to take no action. I don't know the case number.
Well, there's no case number because we didn't have a board complaint on the matter for Nicole Adams.
Okay. I think I'm going to do.
And Dr. Leno seconded it. Great. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay. And the next, oops, why did that? Hold on a second. Okay, so the next is 7, which is a review discussion of possible action of the National Board of Podiatric Medical Examiners in regards to an update on clinical skills, patient encounter examination. And I was just going to give a little update on that the committee, NBPME and the CSPE committee are still continuing to work with major stakeholders, most fervently with the deans of the podiatry schools and the task force that they had set up that includes some of the others, includes other stakeholders. Anyway, they're still, but what they're trying to do is getting the deans on board to do the testing now at the colleges, but it needs to be standardized like the previous test that was given, you know, live back in Conshohocken, in Pennsylvania. So the NBPME still feels that it is, you know, the test is necessary, particularly because so many state boards, you know, indicate that so many of the complaints received, like 85% and above, are based on poor communication skills and documentation skills of the licensees. Anyway, so NBPME is working with NBOME, which is the National Board of Osteopathic Medical Examiners, and they currently have their deans attest the students to their clinical skills before they can move on to the next level. And so they're also doing pilot studies, and one of their pilot studies is going to be done out here at Midwestern University. So that's where they sit with developing it. So still, right now, there is the CSP is still in suspension. So that's my little ditty on that. So we have Heather's executive director's report next.
Thank you, Madam Chair, board members. So as all of you are aware, renewals will begin on May 1st, and as I indicated at the end of the last renewal cycle, and that the board is not sending out postcards anymore. So I will send a mass email to all licensees on May 1st of 2023 reminding of the renewal deadlines. And last year when postcards were sent out, licensees were notified that they would not be getting postcards this year. Also, Thintia, the board's e-license platform and CE Broker sends out email reminders, and licensees are already getting email reminders from CE Broker, and licensees will continue to get reminders throughout the process, throughout the duration of the renewal process. And as the board, does the board have any questions on that? And as the board knows, at its February 8th, 2023 meeting, the board issued a non-disciplinary order for continuing education to Dr. Funk in resolution of complaint number 2208C. On March 27th, 2023, and in consultation with the board chair, he was released from the order because he had completed the terms of the order. And then since I had sent out board materials, I was contacted by the Governor's Regulatory Review Council, reminding the board that its five-year rule review report is due by July 1st. So I will keep the board updated on that. I'm working on that. And I did provide a copy of the current budget and the complaint log. No new complaints have been added to the complaint log since I sent board materials. And I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Heather. So now we have 9, which is our legislative update.
Thank you, Madam Chair, board members. So the first bill, SB 1078, is the State Association's bill, and all of you are familiar with that, and I did send out an email that the bill was signed by the governor on March 28th. So I'm still monitoring, as to a guesstimate as to when this legislative session is going to end, so I can file the draft rules for with the final notice of rulemaking to try to get those effective at the same time, or relatively close to the same time frame. SB 1087, I do not believe that is going to continue through the process, but I'll continue to monitor it. This is the one where the board has to review its fund balance each year and potentially waive fees. But again, I don't think, it doesn't look like it's going to go through the process. And the other one, I can answer any questions on SB 1239 and 1333. 1333 requires agencies to report revoked licensees within the last 5 years to the Department of Health Services. That one, it looks like it's going to go through the process. I don't think SB 1239 is going to move through. And then House Bill 2144, there was a Senate bill that was identical. It was Senate Bill 1270. It didn't look like that 1270 was going to move through, but that 2144 would move through, but it actually flipped. And SB 1270 was signed by the governor on April 6th. So that is the one bill that requires boards to provide enough seating, as feasible. But it also does not require boards to relocate outside of the largest meeting room available. So I can answer any questions on those. And that's my summary.
Thank you, Heather. All right. So, Tim, is our summary of current events? Do we have any thing in that category, agenda item? Okay. Next would be 11, call to the public, and the public has left the room.
Madam Chair, board members, if I may, maybe with summary of current events, actually something did come to mind. And I don't know if this is relevant. Jean Galvin can let me know. But all state agencies have been made aware that, governor did sign an executive order that for any state agency device, you have to have removed TikTok if you have it on state agency device.
My one.
To make you guys aware.
Okay, thank you.
I never did that.
Alrighty. So, like I said, 11, call to the public. The public has left the room. Does anyone have, next would be 13, does anyone have anything they'd like to see as an agenda item in a future meeting? And as always, if something does come up that you'd like to see, just let Heather know that. Our next board meeting is May the 10th, 2023. And I'll ask one more time if there's anything else. Hearing none, that we've completed all our agenda items, I will move to adjourn the meeting at 9:17 a.m. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.